Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for kicking off another week with us here on the Be Our Guest podcast. It is sure appreciated. We're getting ready to head across the pond with listener Mark to talk about an amazing time down at Walt Disney World. And let me give you a hint. It's longer than most Americans stay for their vacation, so stay tuned for that. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. We've got two great books for you right now over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Of course, we have the new book. If you've already read The Wisdom of Walt, like many, many of our listeners have, you now have Beyond The Wisdom of Walt, Success Strategies for Dreamers and Doers, Life Lessons from the Most Magical Place on Earth. That's right. We're heading down to Walt Disney World in Jeff Barnes' second book for inspiration and, you know, little lessons that are going to inspire you to improve yourself each and every day, to not let an opportunity go by because, you know, down at Walt Disney World, they want to inspire. And you're going to pick up on some of those lessons in this new book. It's a great read, and it's an awesome time to pick up a book here as we wrap up October. So check out thewisdomofwalt.com for a great read and to get inspired today. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com. That's the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. It's your insurance policy against the crowds. Let's face it. Nobody likes waiting in lines. You need to zig when everybody else is zagging, and this will help you do just that. So check them out today. Make your next vacation better. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1243 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. As always, thank you so much for taking the time to download or stream the show. I know that there's a lot of great podcasts out there, and each and every time you give us the time to talk some Disney, listen in with us, we really appreciate it. So thank you so very much. Today, we've got a very special guest. We're going across the pond over to the United Kingdom. We're going to talk about a great trip from last summer with listener Mark. Mark, how's it going this evening?
It's very good. Thank you, Mike. I'm very happy to be here.
And we got folks listening morning, noon, and night. So, of course, it is very late where you are because of the time difference. So, again, thank you for that. And it's going to be a good time talking Disney today.
Yeah, no problem. It's 12:30 a.m. over here, but, you know, it's never too early to talk about Disney.
All right. You're like my good buddy Malcolm over there. He does the same. Well, he stays up late for us when we're live, and I really appreciate that. So anyway, let's kick it off and talk Disney. So when was your trip that we're going to talk about today? What was the circumstance? And give us some of the details. Where did you stay? Who did you travel with? That kind of stuff.
Okay. This was the second leg of my honeymoon back in August 2016. We did 8 days in the Bahamas first, and then we came over to Orlando and did 10 days in Disney and Universal.
Nice. So were you Disney fans before this? Like, how did you decide this is where you wanted to go for your honeymoon?
I'm a big Disney fan. This is about my fifth trip. And when we come, when I come, I normally go for quite a long time, like at least sort of 2 weeks. The way it came about was that my wife wanted to go to the Bahamas for a honeymoon. And when we were looking at flights, I was finding it really hard to get a direct flight between the UK and the Bahamas. And at the start, it seemed like the easiest way to get there was to go via Orlando, because UK to Orlando flights are pretty common. And then it's only a couple of hours, if even an hour, from Orlando to the Bahamas. So I was looking at indirect flights via Orlando. And then said, well, if we're going to be in Orlando, it's kind of rude not to. And our wedding in general was kind of like, you know, got out of hand really fast. It was always a case of, can we do this? Can we do that? Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. You know, we're only doing this once. So the 2 week trip to the Bahamas quickly became a just over a week trip to the Bahamas and 10 days at Disney. So She's not quite sure how I got her into that situation, but you know, the Disney logic works wonders sometimes. And before you know it, 10 days at Port Orleans become 10 days at the yacht club. And
that's how it goes. We love it. You're speaking to the choir here. You're preaching to the choir, because that's what we all do. We need a little empowerment. We just need that nudge to either, you know, add days, upgrade our hotel, that kind of stuff. So let me skip to the end of this story real quick, because I'm curious. Your wife, is she as big of a Disney fan, or did this trip win her over? What's her current status?
This trip definitely won her over. I think she was a little bit skeptical before we went, because a lot of people have the misconception that Disney is for kids. And some of us think that, like, Disney is ruined by kids. There's a lot of great things for a couple to do just on their own. And so this trip was really my trying to win her over and to show her that, you know, you don't necessarily have to have younger family members with you to have a great time.
100% agree with that. That's awesome. So you guys, you stayed at Yacht Club. Let's talk about the Walt Disney World part. That's what everybody's looking for today.
Definitely.
And you were there towards the end of the summer, correct? Like, I think August?
Yeah, the 23rd of August through September 2nd.
So did you find that time to be, because I know here, you know, in the States where I live, in the Midwest and in the South, most kids are back in school by that time. So was it manageable? I know it's really hot that time of year. What'd you think?
Yeah, it was really manageable. The heat doesn't bother us in the slightest, and we pushed it as late as possible. My wife's a teacher, and so she needed to be back at work on the Monday, the first Monday in September. So we took it until the very last Friday, so that we could fly home overnight and be back on the Saturday, and then we were both back at work on the Monday. The crowd wise, I was pleasantly surprised. I was very prepared for, like, you know, 8s to 10s on the old touring plans calendars, and I'd be amazed if it hit 6 some of the days that we were there. Some of the pictures that we've got with the background of Epcot is particularly empty, and it made for a really, really great time, because it meant that we didn't have to get up so early in the mornings.
Yeah, how is that for somebody that's from Europe? Because I only have one time change, you know, to get down there, and I move 1 hour forward, but. Is that something that you adjust with more pretty rapidly, or is it a concern moving through the trip?
It got easier the later on in the trip that we got through. The first full day that we had over here at Magic was a Magic Kingdom day on the Wednesday, and we'd got a BR guest breakfast reservation for 8. So I'd set the alarm for 6, which. She wasn't overly impressed with, but when we were awake at 5:45 anyway, it becomes less of an issue.
Yeah, I can see that. All right, so let's talk about your resort, because that's one of the, you know, it's my favorite part of a Disney vacation is where we're staying and what experiences we're going to have. You said you originally were at Riverside or Port Orleans, I think we said Riverside, and then you ended up at Yacht Club. So why did you go with those two resorts? What drew you to those?
Well, I originally went for Port Orleans Riverside because the two magic words in the Disney world these days are free dining.
Yes.
And living in the UK, we're quite blessed with that. We get a guaranteed free dining promotion every year for a very long period of time, normally around the April of 1 year. Disney start aggressively advertising packages for the following year. So in April 2018, we will most likely book a package for the summer of 2019. And if you book it at the very beginning of the promotion, you get free dining and a $200 gift card.
Wow.
So we'd booked to go to Port Orleans Riverside with the free quick service dining plan and the $200 gift card. But then I came across a promotion online from a US-based travel agent that was just for a room rate. And the room rate at the Yacht Club was pretty similar to what we were going to be paying for the rate with free dining at Port Orleans Riverside. And so I put it to the wife that although it meant we'd be paying out of pocket for our food, we'd already got a lot of sit-down meals planned anyway that we were going to be having to pay for. and that we'd got a few days off-site. We had a couple of days at Universal and a day at the mall. So that, you know, again, using that Disney logic, really, to spend a few dollars more and stay at the Yacht Club made a whole lot of sense to me. And so it only took a few days of negotiating.
Yeah, you know, that math will get you in trouble, that Disney math. But you know what? We always end up happy in the end. I think most people do. So you got a deluxe resort there, right, you know, on the doorsteps of Epcot. So what were your thoughts now staying at Yacht Club? What could you tell our audience about, you know, staying over there?
It's probably the best on-site property you could stay at, all things considered. When you add in how close it is to Epcot and Hollywood Studios. You've got the boardwalk right there where you've got Ample Hills and Abracadabra. The best on-site pool by a country mile. You really can't go wrong. It's definitely worth the, you know, I appreciate that it's, you know, not a budget-friendly hotel, but it's definitely worth the expense.
Yeah, I can't wait. I get to stay at Beach Club for Marathon Weekend here in about 65, 70 days now. I know I got to run 48.6 miles, but I'm getting so excited because, you know, Storm Along Bay. Did you guys spend time there?
We did, yeah. We had a couple of mornings there, the Friday of the first week and one of the mornings in the second week. The Friday of the first week was kind of our resort day. After we had two full days really going at it as soon as we got there, we landed in Orlando on the Tuesday, and then we had Wednesday and Thursday as really, like, you know, hitting the parks hard. So Friday we had a kind of relaxing day. We spent the morning around the resort, then the afternoon down in Disney Springs. So we made full use of Storm Along Bay. Lazy River is a lot deeper than you'd expect.
Yeah, it is. You're right. That's so true.
I remember the first time I fell off a rubber ring, I was like, "Oh, it'll be okay," because, like, you know, I'm 6 foot tall. I'll be fine. And nope, I still went down a good few feet before I hit the floor.
Yeah, I remember that. It is. It's a little deceiving over there. It's not a kiddie Lazy River. Now let me ask you. So you guys had the luxury of time. You know, we talk about that on a Disney vacation. When you have that, it's a whole different mindset. So walk us through some of the times and experiences and memories that you still have over a year later. Like what kind of you know, fun things stick out still in the parks? Maybe a dining experience or two. So what were some of the highlights?
Well, like you said, like, the good thing about the vast majority of people that vacation over there from the UK is that because the cost of transatlantic flights is so expensive, when we go, we really go, and we'll be like there from anything like 10 to 14 nights is kind of a standard for a UK guest going over, you know, during their summer vacation. One of the things that we did was that we went drinking around the world at Epcot.
Nice.
And the thing that sticks out in my mind is that my wife had the duck, and she was so impressed with it that I was talking to her about something, and she stopped me mid-sentence to proclaim just how good the duck was. And then after the meal, when we were outside, there was a memory maker, photo pass photographer, taking some pictures of everybody with the you know, the scenic backdrop of Paris, and I'm pretty sure she was just eavesdropping on everybody, trying to find someone that was talking about the fact they were about to go to Chef de France, so that she could tell them to try the duck. So, and like you said, you always have to pack your patience and your perhaps when you go to Disney World, and perhaps one trip to Chef de France wasn't enough. So we actually ended up going there a second time and canceling one of our other ADRs. I think we canceled Yachtsman so that we could go back a second night. So we ate there on the Thursday night and the Monday night in a similar way that on the Thursday morning we had breakfast at Cape May Cafe. And we were so impressed with that that we also had breakfast there the Friday morning. You know, literally 24 hours later, we were back. And, you know, got to get that all-you-can-eat breakfast into to fuel a long day.
Mark, we got a couple things in common. Let me tell you one thing. I think I should be an honorary Brit because when I go down, I typically stay for like 2 weeks. You know, even though it's a cheap flight from where I am, it's 2 hours. But I like to go for a long time in the summer. And I also go to the same places over and over that I like. You know, if I like it, I'll go back.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this it's a very long flight. It's about 8 hours. It's a slightly shorter trip to Pittsburgh. It's 3,691 miles. So I think that puts me closer to Pam than anybody that lives in Hawaii.
we'll have to fact check that, but I like that. I want to ask you this, though, because we don't have, you know, the funny thing is I can see where people download our podcast, and about 7% of our shows get downloaded in the UK, which is awesome. So we got lots of listeners over there, but, you know, now that we're talking here, and I've always wondered this. So what's your impression of World Showcase? Because for me, it's really exotic because I'm from the dead center of the United States, haven't really traveled internationally except for a cruise. So what do you think of it? Because in Europe, you guys you have more, you know, diversity in the countries that are very near you. So what do you think?
Yeah, it's a very good representation. I'm guessing it wouldn't be so popular if it wasn't, especially like you said, 7% of your listeners, and I dare say a greater percentage of Disney's travelers are international travelers. And I think if it wasn't an authentic representation, then it just wouldn't. You know, it wouldn't fly with their guests and it wouldn't be a popular attraction. You have an awful lot of people who will come, like I said, like, you know, 3,000-4,000 miles from the UK to Orlando and still go to the Rose and Crown pub for the same meal that they can have over here. An awful lot more conveniently. Of the World Showcase countries represented, I've only personally been, as far as countries in Europe, I've been to Italy and France. And obviously living in the UK, and all three of them are very, very accurate. And I like the fact that they try and hire cast members from those countries as well. So it's, it really makes you feel like, you know, home from home some days when you're walking around there. It's really, really nice.
That's great to hear because I love it. You know, it's very exotic. And the best part of World Showcase absolutely for me is I love the food, but it's the cast members number one, because I don't ever have the opportunity where I am in my part of the world to speak with somebody from, you know, Italy or from Canada or from France or, you know, the UK. And it's a great opportunity that I think a lot of guests pass by and they don't realize that. And I want to encourage folks when they travel to Epcot to take advantage, because, you know, you have a world of knowledge right there in these cast members. And a lot of these cast members are the kids on the international college program, and they're eager to share about home. They're probably missing home and they'd love to talk about it. So I echo your sentiments there.
Yeah. It's definitely something worth doing, you know, just taking that extra 5-10 minutes in each country to speak to somebody about where they're from within their country and what brought them to Disney in the first place as well. It's a great learning experience for the kids, which I think was one of Walt's initial goals was to educate and entertain at the same time, so that the kids don't always necessarily realize they're getting an education, but you know that 10 minutes talking to somebody about their native land can be really useful to someone.
Absolutely. Let me ask you one more thing, then we're gonna get to a few more highlights from the trip, but. You know, in your media, so like your TV stations, your radio that you guys have over in the UK, how prevalent is Disney travel advertising? You know, like the Disney Destinations, Cruise Line, World. I mean, do you see this, do you think, as frequently as we do here in the States?
Oh, absolutely. One of the most popular television shows in the UK on a Saturday evening is a TV show called Ant and Dec's Saturday Night Takeaway. And it's kind of like, an old-fashioned variety show, a bit of a chat show format and all sort of games and stuff. And throughout the entirety of last year, every week they were giving away two to four families worth of seats on a plane to Walt Disney World. And they produced a live show to the UK from Main Street, USA last summer. That was heavily promoted all summer long, and it was really covered a lot buy a couple of TV show different news stations. It was definitely covered by the Disney media, and I know that a couple of other blogs, etc., covered it. So it's really quite popular. And as I said, because they announced the free dining offers so far in advance, from April through to, I'd say, like November every single year, it's constantly advertised on television that, you know, like our biggest and best dining offers and stuff. It's actually surprising, because Walt Disney World is advertised on TV an awful lot more than Disneyland Paris, and Disneyland Paris is only an hour away.
Well, that's why, you know, I guess it's a little bit more of an exotic destination. I don't know. You know, I don't see Six Flags on the commercials here, and that's our local park. So maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think they think that because it's on your doorstep, you already know it's there.
Maybe, yeah.
So that's a good point. It's like, we don't need to advertise that one, but come over here instead.
They got more to gain from you coming over to the States, I guess. I don't know. That's interesting, though. I appreciate that, because I've always wondered that myself. So let me ask you this, you know, as far as, let's get back to some of the highlights. You mentioned, you know, some of your dining that you enjoyed. Any outstanding theme park memories that you still have? I mean, you were right there walking distance Epcot Studios, but you also have Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, definitely. We got an early morning in an Animal Kingdom because the safari first thing in the morning, is really something to see. Sadly for us, we were there before Rivers of Light or the new Pandora expansion opened. But, you know, that just gives us another excuse to go back. The highlight for me, the highlight for my wife is most definitely that while we were in the Magic Kingdom, I got bit by a little bit of karma. I was trying to get her to go on Space Mountain and promised her that it really, really wasn't that bad, and that because it didn't go upside down, and that because it didn't have, you know, shoulder restraints, that as far as scary roller coasters go, it couldn't possibly be that bad. And I convinced her to go on it. And when we got off, I thought she was absolutely going to kill me because she was mortified. So we walked around and we saw something that was a little more her, you know, a little more her taste. The carousel was just about to empty, so we went to get on the carousel, and we found two horses next to each other, and I helped her get on her horse, and then, you know, I put my left leg inside a straddle and threw my right leg over the horse. And as my right leg, made its way over, I most definitely felt the crotch of my shorts rip in half. We have never gone through so many gift shops looking for a replacement pair of shorts with such speed.
You know, I can sympathize with you. I don't think I've ever told this story in the 10 years almost that we've been doing this show, is that... when I was student teaching my very first year back in 1998, I think it was, or 99, I was teaching second grade, and it was my first day with my second graders of student teaching, so I'm nervous wreck. I'm going around meeting these little kids. I'm 6'3", so I'm having to kneel down, you know, squat down. They're coming up, you know, to my thigh. And I'm talking to this kid at his desk, and I bend over, and same thing, right out of my dockers, right out of my pants, rip the crotch out, and, you know, fortunately, I lived 5 minutes down the road and could go home and change. My cooperating teacher was an angel. She understood my embarrassment, but I know where you're coming from. You don't want it to get breezy right there on the carousel.
Yeah, well, that was the problem. We were really struggling to find a replacement pair of shorts, and luckily the rip wasn't so bad that we couldn't fix it until we went on the Little Mermaid ride. And then realized that my shorts were now glowing.
Nice. Under the sea, I guess. I don't know.
But it's a good job that there's such a variety of shops on Main Street, because we didn't have time to go back to the resort. Because unbeknownst to my wife, this was on our last full day there, the Thursday evening, and we'd booked to go on the fireworks cruise out of the Contemporary Resort. So we didn't really have time to go all the way back over to the yacht club to get a replacement pair of shorts. So it was a good job that the ones I was wearing could be fixed up. But I think I told you in my initial email, we booked the private sort of fireworks cruise, and we got rained out. We got on the cruise at 8 o'clock. It was just me and my wife in this nice little boat. We'd ordered some food from the resort dining and a few drinks. We were on the boat for about 45 minutes. We got out onto the Seven Seas Lagoon, and just about 9:15, before the fireworks were about to start, the driver got a warning over his radio and had to absolutely bomb it over to the Grand Floridian, because he'd been warned that there was about to be a horrible thunderstorm, and he was right. So on our very last night, rather than the magical evening that I'd got planned of watching the fireworks from a cruise boat, we watched them from underneath an umbrella at the Grand Floridian, and it was absolutely persisting it down with rain.
That's a shame, because I know you look forward to something like that your entire trip. You know, you're going to wrap it up the right way, fireworks cruise, I know Disney can't control the weather, but I'm sure that's a huge disappointment to kind of wrap up the trip. But you know what? Again, we're Disney fans. You know, maybe next time you cash that in and do it the next trip.
Yeah, definitely. Just gives us another reason to go back. And Disney were great about that. We didn't even have to mention it. And by the time we'd got back to our resort, they'd already refunded the cost of the cruise onto my account. So, you know, that was absolutely fantastic from them. Can't complain at all. We also got to see the decorations for the Halloween party. We didn't get to go to the Halloween party because in 2016, the first night of the Halloween party was the day that we left. But I noticed that this year they've brought the dates forward, and you can now celebrate Halloween in late August.
Yes, you can. I don't know how I feel about that, but yes, you can.
Because why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not just throw it in July when it's 110 degrees? You know, I don't know. It's they stretch the seasons. I know why they do it, because everybody enjoys those hard ticket events, those parties. But, you know, I don't know.
Definitely. And it's definitely something that we will do. On our next trip, if they keep pulling the dates forward as much as possible. School over here tends to go back like the first Monday of September, so as long as they do a date either very early in September or late August, next trip we'll definitely be able to factor something like that in.
That's good. We used to go back that time, too. Now we go back at the beginning of August. I don't know what's happening to the American education system, but they want us to go in the summer. So it's good for you guys, though. You know what I'm saying? If we're back in school, better for you.
It is, because all of the schools in the UK tend to have the same sort of block of holiday in the middle of summer. It's typically from like the middle of July through to the start of September. At which point in time everybody wants to go on vacation, so it's good that the US citizens have kindly departed.
Get out of there. We're gonna have some fun. It's our turn.
Yeah.
So let me.
And like I said, it meant that we didn't have to start our days so early because the parks weren't quite as full as they were. So it was good.
That's good. So let me ask you, one other thing here, because, it was your honeymoon. You guys had all this time staying at the yacht club. Very nice, great location, beautiful amenities. What would you tell folks right now? Because I'm sure that there are lots of listeners out here planning a honeymoon at Walt Disney World. So what did you learn from this? Because I know you're a big planner and you lay everything out. You put everything down. You know, what tips would you give somebody that's planning their Disney honeymoon today?
Just to factor in at least half a day of just, spending some time, especially if you're planning a honeymoon, it's all about spending time like with your loved one. And it doesn't all have to be, roller coasters and shows, etc. Some of the better times that we had was we went monorail resort hopping. We spent a morning just going, between the three of those. And one of the mornings where we were having a resort day, my wife took herself off to Ship Shape and had her nails done at the spa. So definitely factor in some, sort of you time. It'll really make your holiday.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys had an amazing honeymoon, and maybe our paths will cross. Maybe I'll get to, now that I'm not teaching anymore, maybe I'll end up down there same time as my friends from the UK. So, Mark, I appreciate you taking the time staying up so late for us here to record the show, and hope to catch you down at Walt Disney World sometime.
Oh, yeah, definitely. because of the distance and stuff, it's not an every year vacation for us. It's an every couple of years. But you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, our paths will meet.
All right. Well, nice to meet you. Thanks again. I appreciate it.
Anytime.
All right. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. It's the new one based down at Walt Disney World. And of course, the original based on Disneyland, The Wisdom of Walt. Both books will inspire you to live your best life and to not let a day go by without trying to improve yourself. So check them out today over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And don't forget our friends over at touringplans.com. They're going to steer you clear of the crowds at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, and Universal. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. Don't forget, when you're doing your online shopping, please support the podcast. We appreciate that so very much. If you need that last minute Halloween candy or even a costume, beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It supports the show, costs you nothing extra. You get your Prime benefits, and it really does help. So beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon for all your online shopping needs. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at beourguestmike. And we've got a great Facebook page over at facebook.com/beourguestpodcast. All right, it's time to cut you loose and let you get on with your Monday. Thank you again for starting your week with us here on the podcast. We appreciate that very, very much. So for Mark over in the UK, I'm Mike here in the Midwest. We'll make sure you have a great week, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.